Good afternoon, everyone. We'll call the Legislative Coordinating Commission meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. First of all, Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome back to this wonderful year of 2020. Looking forward to working with everyone for the upcoming 2020 session. We'll get right into the agenda. First thing on the agenda is to review the minutes from June 19th, 2019. And after we review those, we do need a motion to approve. We have a motion. Senator Dames moves that we approve the minutes from June 19th, 2019. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion prevails. Next on the agenda, we're going to review the proposed changes to the legislative plan for employee benefits and policies, and Mr. Hubinger is going to go over those proposed changes. Mr. Hubinger, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. Happy New Year to you all. I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. I'm going to talk about proposed changes to the LCC benefit book, more formally known as the Legislative Plan for Employee Benefits and Policies. This plan establishes insurance benefits and vacation and sick leave policies and other benefits for legislative branch employees in the Senate, House, and joint legislative offices. The insurance, vacation, severance, and sick leave policies are under the statutory responsibilities of the LCC and would be effective when approved by the LCC. Other provisions in the benefit plan are effective when they are adopted by the respective Senate and House Rules Committees. These proposed changes reflect the work of a staff group made up of members from the Senate and House and LCC. Their names are provided at the end of the summary, the staff summary that I believe you have in your packet. There's also a copy of the proposed plan in legislative format. I want to thank all the staff that worked in this on this group. They did wonderful work and we worked together well. I'm going to review the substantive changes briefly and then leave the technical changes because they're very narrow in scope. The substantive changes begin with changes to the harassment and discrimination provisions on pages 3 to 5 of the plan. We just include new language that reflects the fact that the Senate and the House have each adopted updated policies on that issue. The next item on the agenda is a proposed harassment and discrimination policy for the LCC. The second set of substantive changes to the plan relate to the insurance chapter. The LCC is statutorily responsible for providing insurance benefits for legislative staff and legislative members. The LCC has traditionally purchased that coverage through the State Employee Group Insurance Program, and for that reason, we need to adopt this plan. Those benefit provisions in the insurance chapter are negotiated through a liaison group of union members, and then the final negotiations are conducted by AFSCME and MAPE. In that way, the provisions are the same across all of the bargaining units. There aren't any substantive changes to the underlying plan design. There are increases in out-of-pocket costs for first dollar deductibles and office and prescription co-pays and co-insurance. I think there's a copy of those rate changes in your folders. Beginning in 2021, the $5 reduction that we currently enjoy in our office visit copay if we complete the well-being survey is going away and instead will be replaced by a $70 credit for employees who are completing qualified activities in the well-being program. Generally, premiums are planned to increase by approximately 8% each calendar year of this plan year. And the dental premiums are going up by about 2.25%. Other changes in the LCC benefit book include changes to the vacation leave accrual. We are recognizing work experience in a tribal government or a local unit of government outside of Minnesota when calculating the rate of accrual that employees receive when they work here. We propose a change to the sick leave use policy that would allow employees to use sick leave to attend a special education meeting regarding their child. We proposed modifying the paid voting leave provision to parallel that of the contracts and plans in the executive branch to enable employees to take paid vacation or paid voting leave to participate in tribal elections. We propose increases in the deferred compensation program that the House, Senate, and LCC implement. Those increases vary depending on which body, and those amounts are shown in the staff summary on page 2. And then finally, reflecting changes in the wage theft law that were adopted in the 2019 session, we add some language that provides notice to employees about what information they have to be provided by their appointing authorities. Mr. Chair and members, those are the substantive changes. There's a list of technical changes that are very narrow in scope. Be happy to answer questions about any of them.
Members, any questions? Representative Dowd moves approval of the proposed changes to the legislative plan for employee benefits and policies and authorizes staff to make technical corrections. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion prevails. Next on the agenda, we're going to review the proposed LCC harassment and discrimination policy. Mr. Hubinger and Ms. Spear will go over those with us. Welcome to the commission.
Mr. Chair, members, just to provide a brief introduction to set the stage. As you all know, the House and Senate Rules Committees each have adopted revised policies relating to harassment and discrimination policies for their respective bodies. We established a small staff group several months ago to review the House and Senate policies and to propose one that would apply to the Legislative Coordinating Commission. In that endeavor, we worked very closely with Senate and House counsel to see how our policy would fit in with what the House and Senate have done. We had that small staff group had Susan Lincheski from the Pensions Commission, David Schmidtke from the Library, and Ms. Spear from the Reviser of Statutes Office. Ms. Spear is the lead author on this policy, so I'm going to ask her to review the proposal for you.
Wonderful. Ms. Spear, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome. The LCC policy before you, I'm just going to walk through kind of briefly, so if you have any questions, feel free to interrupt me and ask any detailed questions. Section 1 establishes the policy of the LCC to eliminate discrimination and harassment based on a protected characteristic as defined under the Minnesota Human Rights Act and federal law. It also establishes a policy of prohibiting retaliation against any individual that would violate this policy. Retaliation against any individual who reports discrimination or harassment under the policy. Section 2 is the scope and application. This policy only applies to employees of the joint offices under the jurisdiction of the LCC. So it does not apply to a House member, a Senate member, or a House or Senate employee. The policy applies to joint employees when they're in their work environment, and it applies to interaction of those individuals at any place that might affect the legislative working environment. The policy is also intended to apply to the interaction of third parties, including lobbyists, members of the media, visitors, and other constituents and people who have business with or at the LCC, and the LCC will take reasonable action within its power to stop harassment or discrimination against its employees in the course of their work with these third parties. Section 3 is a definition section. There's standard definitions from federal law and the Minnesota Human Rights Act, so I won't go through them unless you have questions. Section 4 outlines the responsibilities of each of the parties under the LCC. The director of the LCC must uphold the policy. They're responsible for training individuals regarding the policy, and they handle the complaints and investigations fairly and efficiently. Supervisors and contact persons under the policy must respond to and report behavior when it's observed, and they must attend supervisor training. And employees must also report behavior, participate in training, and cooperate with any investigations. Section 5 relates to confidentiality. It states that the LCC has a legal obligation to respond to all complaints, and it states the investigations will be handled discreetly, with information being shared only with those who have a need to know in accordance with legal obligations. Section 6 outlines how to provide a report of discrimination, harassment, or retaliation. Subsection A summarizes the options that are available to an individual who thinks they might have experienced discrimination or harassment. This was just a helpful guide, and when it goes into more detail in subsection E of this policy. Subsection B relates to complaints. It says that complaints can be made any way an individual is comfortable. And it directs supervisors and contact persons to be open and accepting of reports and err on the side of promptly reporting to the director of the LCC. Subsection C outlines the investigation process. Investigations will be done collaboratively with the supervisor or the contact person, the director of the LCC, and the director of the relevant LCC office. Those with relevant information will be interviewed regarding the alleged incident and are expected to cooperate. The alleged offender will be advised of the complaint and given an opportunity to provide information about what happened and comment on a possible resolution. And both the alleged wrongdoer and person experiencing the alleged behavior will be advised of the resolution of the investigation with concern shown for the privacy of both parties. It also reiterates that retaliation is strictly forbidden against someone who participates in an investigation, and it allows the director of the LCC to hire outside investigators as needed. Subsection D discusses the resolution of a report. It outlines a non-exhaustive list of options for resolving a complaint, ranging from anywhere from a verbal or written warning all the way to termination of employment. Subsection E provides more information about other options, including the employee assistance program, which employees can utilize if they believe they may have experienced harassment or discrimination, and gives the phone number for the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. F talks about false reports and complaints that will not be tolerated. Subsection G just simply states that this is not an employment contract. And subsection H provides training that is mandatory for all employees. Supervisors and employees shall attend non-discrimination and anti-harassment training at least once every 2 years. And finally, questions are directed to the director of the LCC or the director of any LCC office. Thank you.
And Ms. Spear, can you please just state your name for the record? I should have asked you to do that at the beginning.
I apologize. My name is Cherie Spear, and I'm with the Revisor's Office.
Thank you very much. Questions? Representative Dowd?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. I'm sure, and I apologize if you mentioned this at the beginning of your comments, but I'm sure you reviewed the Senate's harassment policy and the House harassment policy. Does this differ in any way from those, or is it more or less comprehensive, or... Can you kind of just brief us on that quickly?
Ms. Spear.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. This is actually taken directly from both of the policies, so there are some differences from each. We were trying to strike a middle ground.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Ms. Spear. Is there an HR function associated with the LCC? I'm just asking for clarifying purposes. You're talking about disciplinary action, and if there is an HR function, then those disciplinary actions are defined outside this document.
Ms. Spear?
Should I take that? Mr. Chair and Senator Benson, the LCC doesn't have a formal HR office. We rely on staff from the Senate and the House in providing that function. We work closely with them when we conduct investigations.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Hubinger. So then the disciplinary actions up to and including termination would be in line with existing policies?
Mr. Hubinger.
Mr. Chair and Senator Benson, we have practices that we follow. I wouldn't elevate them to a level of a policy, but yes.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chair,
Senator Benson.
One more question. When the Senate was drafting ours, we had concerns, for example, if the leader of the caucus was accused, we had documentation of how that would be handled. I don't see something similar for the director. Ms. Spear, is that something that is handled in a different way?
Ms. Spear?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator. No, we don't have a different process for director levels. They would be handled like any other employee.
And
Mr. Hubinger? Did you want to respond?
Mr. Chair and Senator Benson, if there were a complaint about the LCC director, we would encourage that person to go to the LCC chair, and they would likely use the HR function in their body to do the investigation.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Hubinger. That's the only thing that I was looking for as I did a quick scan, because I spend a good deal of time with the Senate policy. And Mr. Bodern? Yes, I know, maybe I should ask someone else, a little deer in the headlights. I'm wondering, is there enough custom and practice that we wouldn't need to document that if some, so if somebody was reading this and they said, I have a problem with the director, is there enough practice? And maybe somebody from the House could clarify to know that they would then come to the chair of the LCC. Okay, Mr. Hubinger.
Mr. Chair and Senator Benson, I think you raise a point that this document doesn't articulate the need for that kind of provision. Our practice would be that they would go to my supervisor, who is the chair,
okay.
And we would certainly implement that as a way to deal with that kind
as
of concern.
As a practice. And Mr. Chair, I don't want to impugn Mr. Hubinger's integrity at all, but I had to do it with Senator Gazelkin, so I've gotten a little comfortable that sometimes we have to write things that are difficult to talk about. And so I'm not going to object to the policy. I think it's an important step. I would hope that there would be some sort of internal documentation. And Mr. Hubinger, if you could let me know when that happens, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Members, any other discussion, questions, comments? If not, we need a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
Senator Gazelka moves approval of the LCC harassment and discrimination policy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion prevails. The policy is adopted. Members, any other discussion? Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for coming. And before we adjourn, I just want to thank all the staff that worked on both the benefits plan as well as the harassment and discrimination policy. We know a lot of work goes on behind the scenes, and we appreciate all of your work and your efforts. With that, the meeting is adjourned.